have been immersed in the story of Holy Week since we celebrated Jesus' birth in December. From writing the Discovery Kingdom curriculum, to teaching the curriculum, to planning services for this week, I have been drawn into the story of the last week of Jesus' ministry. I wondered, what is it about this story that draws us in? What is it about this scripture that has moved people for thousands of years to not only retell the story, but to physically relive it through tableaus or passion plays? My first thought was, it all relates to vulnerability. My second thought was, that must not be right because the idea of preaching on vulnerability sounds terrible and vulnerable. If you do a quick internet search for vulnerability, it will not take many clicks to learn about researcher and storyteller Brené Brown. Brown's more than decade of qualitative research began with the topic of shame. She was curious as to what made people more or less prone to experience this base, primitive emotion. She defines shame as the fear of disconnection, the fear of being unlovable. Shame is the voice in our heads that tells us we are dumb, that tells us we are a terrible person, and that tells us we are worthless. Shame is the voice in our head that is on repeat saying, I am not enough. On the off chance we can navigate that voice, the second voice of shame says, who do you think you are? Shame is an epidemic. After countless stories, Brown found a pattern in people less prone to shame. She calls these people the wholehearted. Those that she saw as wholehearted had a sense of worthiness, and this worthiness did not come from the external world. Rather, worthiness is a sense of belonging that is deeply a part of someone's being. People who are wholehearted, Brown poses, have a sense of courage, compassion, and connection. They have a courage to tell their story, imperfections and all. They have compassion first for themselves. They have a connection that enables authenticity and douses the pervasive weeds of shoulds in life. This is vulnerability, Brown states. Vulnerability is the ability to let ourselves be fully seen and to know that we are worthy of love and belonging. Vulnerability is saying and believing, I am enough. To be clear, vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is courage, compassion, and connection. In her first TED Talk that catapulted Brown to immense popularity, she did an experiment. One, she claims that if someone would have told her her video would have had over 2 million hits, she probably wouldn't have done. In her talk, Brown became vulnerable and told her story. She allowed herself to be fully seen and know that she is worthy of love and belonging. Brown says, stories are where we need to start with the necessary conversation on vulnerability. So here I am, being seen by all of you and knowing I am worthy of love and belonging. One of my tasks as student intern was leading the Ash Wednesday services. At the services, I shared that Ash Wednesday is a reminder that we are beautifully and wonderfully made in a limited time and place. Ash Wednesday reminds us that we often fall short of honoring this beauty. I posed the question repeatedly, what is getting in your way of your relationship with God? How will you reconnect with God during your Lent practice? I will admit, when I asked others to reflect on this question, I didn't have an answer for myself. Then, our confirmand, Reed Young, asked me what my Lent practice was going to be. I had to come up with something. Without really thinking it through, I shared that what gets in my way of my relationship with God is myself. My own internal narrative of negativity and shame. Offhandedly, I said, "So my Lent journey is going to be about practicing more self-love." I had no idea where that would lead. I started this Lent journey in a very scholarly and theological way with a very solid Pinterest search. For those of you unfamiliar, Pinterest is a social media site that basically puts the internet into picture form, from recipes to craft ideas to inspirational quotes. If there's a picture of it, it's on Pinterest. So I thought, I'm sure that there are some fluffy, love yourself quotes that I'll just add to my morning devotion. And then one of the first quotes I read said the following. Picture yourself when you were 5. In fact, dig out a photo of little you at that time and tape it to your mirror. I actually did this. How would you treat her, love her, feed her? How would you nurture her if you were the mother of little you? I bet you would protect her fiercely while giving her space to spread her itty-bitty wings. She'd get naps, healthy food, imagination time, and adventures in the wild. If playground bullies hurt her feelings, you'd hug her tears and give her perspective. When tantrums or meltdowns turned her into a poltergeist, you'd demand a loving timeout in the naughty chair. From this day forward, I want you to extend that same compassion to your adult self. Then and now, I weep. Shame is an epidemic, and I'm infected. Those of you who know or have seen my ministry know that I have a strong call not only to the education of youth and children, but for their advocacy of being valuable and important in the church. I will fight fiercely for children and youth I serve to be seen and heard. But do I love myself enough to do the same for me? If you would have asked me on Ash Wednesday, the answer was no. But the journey in the wilderness of my own heart throughout Lent has tipped the scales to yes. Yes, I do love myself. There is a path ahead of me to live out my commitment to be closer to God. Self-love isn't fluffy quotes. It's the nitty-gritty work of vulnerability. I knew I couldn't do this alone. Just like how this practice began, I offhandedly started sharing the images or quotes I was reflecting on that day on my Facebook page with the hashtag self-love and Lent 2015. Lent 2015 never started trending. And this practice evolved into something amazing. People I had not talked to in years were liking my statuses, commenting on them, or reaching out to have conversations about how they too needed to work on self-love. I turned my shame into vulnerability and have found a deep sense of courage, compassion, and connection with others, and most importantly, with myself. With this remarkable growth in myself, I noticed that this online conversation was almost exclusively with women. Oh, got a reaction on that one. Shame is universal, and so is the need for vulnerability. Brown shares that at a book signing, a man commented that it was convenient that her shame research had only focused on women. He said, "Men have shame. We have deep shame. But when we reach out to tell our stories, we get the emotional beat out of us. And before you say anything about those mean fathers and those coaches and those brothers, my wife and three daughters would rather see me die on top of my white horse than have to watch me fall off of it." For men, shame often comes from showing any sign of weakness. Women's narrative of shame often comes from chasing the mythical creature that is perfectly doing it all while looking like a supermodel. How do we create space for vulnerability across these cultural gender norms? Brown eloquently says, "If you show me a woman who can sit with a man in real vulnerability, in deep fear, and be with him in it, I'll show you a woman who has A, done her work, and B, does not derive her power from that man. And if you show me a man that can sit with a woman in deep struggle and vulnerability and not try to fix it, but to hear her and be with her and hold space for her, I'll show you a guy who's done his work and a man who doesn't derive his power from controlling and fixing everything." Isn't this what the church project set out to be? To be a place where men, women, and those not on the binary are deeply seen, heard, cherished, and loved. Isn't this what the story of Holy Week teaches us? We are drawn into the story of Holy Week because we can see ourselves in the vulnerability of the life and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus' vulnerability is not exclusively manifest on the cross. There is vulnerability every step of the way. Today, Palm Sunday. I don't know about you, but the idea of having a parade in my honor makes me sweaty and uncomfortable. It's vulnerable. To be the center of attention, to be fully seen and to be praised, to be affirmed that you are worthy of love and belonging by a crowd sounds like one of the most vulnerable acts I've ever heard of. The shame rampants begin to run. I'm not enough. Who do I think I am getting this much attention? But today we remember. We remember the example that Jesus shows us of vulnerability by accepting the praise of others. We too are all worthy of celebration and praise. Then there is the clearing of the temple, as the kids have coined it, Money Monday. How vulnerable is it to go into an establishment, say that you don't agree with what is happening, get a whip and flip over tables? Who among us is willing to show up and speak truth to such injustice? That sounds scary. That sounds vulnerable. And yet, we affirm here in church that we are committed to following Jesus in word and deed. And if we believe that our bodies are a temple of God's creation, what about the tables in our own hearts that need to be flipped over? What are those thoughts of shame taking up the holy space that is the temple of our being? How can we follow Jesus's example of vulnerability and clear out our hearts? Then there's Maundy Thursday. Vulnerability abounds in the story of the Last Supper. The Gospel of John describes an intimate and vulnerable moment. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. This Thursday, I hope you can all join us for the potluck where we will practice this act of vulnerability together. You will have the opportunity to have your feet or hands washed. to be seen and to be loved, what will that look like? How will we allow ourselves to know that we are worthy of love and belonging? It is in the Last Supper that Jesus imparts that he is enough. Through the breaking of the bread, we are reminded of when the Israelites roamed the desert and were given enough food for one day at a time. By naming Jesus as the bread of life, we name that he is enough. We do not have to go far to find a narrative of vulnerability. Jesus is our shared story to continue to learn the immense courage, compassion, and connection that make up true vulnerability. May this Holy Week be a time where we are able to fall deeply in love with ourselves, where we are able to follow Jesus by being vulnerable. And we will celebrate. We will celebrate together the outcome of Jesus's vulnerability that we know awaits us when that stone is rolled away. May we roll away our own stones in preparation today to be able to reconnect with our Creator on Easter morning. I invite us to close with a breath prayer that we have practiced throughout Lent. This is a prayer you can do anytime, anywhere. On the inhale, I want you to affirm for yourself, I am worthy. And on the exhale, of love and belonging. Let us say that a few times through to ourselves to close in prayer. Amen.